Who do you trust? And what does it take for someone to actually earn their trust? For you to say, yes, that's a person that I can rely on. That's a person that has shared something with me, or that has I've been able to see into the depth of who they are, their character, their nature, and I know that, yes, that person is reliable, that person is dependable, that person is someone that I can count on when the rubber hits the road, when things begin to fall apart, when there's a darkness that descends, and we know, yeah, that's that person. For me, more recently, it's also been about vulnerability. When someone has been vulnerable with me and shared, you know, some secret from their life or something that is, you know, is there, that's part of their character, part of their personality, part of their history. And it's not something that thankfully they share with everybody. But that ability just to admit, hey, I can't do this. I don't know how to make my way through this whole situation. There's something about all of this that just bamboozles me. I'm just overwhelmed. Being able to share that same sense of just that feeling, that experience of, I can't do this by myself. That automatically kind of creates that sense of trust there. Clearly, there must have been something like that in the great heroes, in a sense, of the faith that we're presented in Hebrews 11. That's our second reading tonight. You know, we heard the story of Abraham 2 weeks ago when he was there offering hospitality to these three strange visitors who arrive at the Oak of Mamre, at the tent where he and Sarah are living. It's long before they've had a son or any descendant. And they offer then this hospitality, but they also then go into that bargaining. So we see something of the character of Abraham. But most of the time when you see Abraham, it's a pretty strange kind of figure. You know, a very manipulative, lying, conniving, sort of cheating sort of character. Not someone that you would naturally expect to place any sort of trust in. And yet, God is the first to trust. God is the one who chooses Abraham. Of all of the different people that he could have chosen, he chose this person, this man with this weird and awful kind of character, to say, okay, you're the one I'm going to choose. You're the one that will carry this promise. You're the one that I'm hoping will be able to be the father of this great multitude of people. You're the one that somehow through all of these situations will keep finding a way to return. And I think maybe that's part of the gift of Abraham, that it's not that he gets it right all the time. You know, no one wants to read a story about a hero that just went from success to success and everything just worked out swimmingly and there was no hassles or dramas whatsoever across the whole course of their life. You know, when you're reading someone's biography, it's much more interesting to hear about their struggles and the times when everything fell apart, when things didn't go the way that they planned, and yet somehow they were able to find a way through all of those different situations to find that life. So God is testing and trusting in Abraham. But Abraham also, there's something about him that he's able to put his faith, put his trust in his God, and to say, look, you know, there's no indication of any relationship, there's no indication of the nature of Abraham's faith or anything like that. Has he developed this understanding of the God who suddenly speaks to him and calls to him to go to this foreign country that he's never seen, to a people that he's never experienced, to a land and a geography and to a situation that he has no idea what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like. And yet, somehow, in the midst of all that, Abraham begins that journey and begins to walk in that experience of faith. So perhaps there was this vulnerability that was there at the heart of that experience. Perhaps there was something that captured Abraham's eye, that captured his faith, that he knew that God was someone who was trustworthy and he put his trust in him. I don't know that it makes it all that easier for us to then kind of ponder, well, how do we do the same? How do we continue to really see in God a person that we can trust? To see in God this nature of this being who does love us. You know, we can believe that in our heads and we can profess that with our lips, but believing that in the depths of our being, believing that in such a way that it's just natural to get up and put our prayers to our feet, you know, to begin to walk in the way of faith, to use our hands to express what it is that we believe. You know, it's as I said, it's one thing to think things, to say things. It's yet another to actually live in such a way that we know that our lives and hearts are changed and transformed by that encounter with God. The gospel tonight, there's a couple of parables that sit, or a section of his teaching, inviting us into that experience of trust after that section we had last week, where that man came to Jesus and said, "Master, you know, sort out the inheritance with my brother. You know, he's obviously wanting to claim too much, and I'm wanting to claim back some of it." And we had that wonderful parable, or not that wonderful, really, a horrible parable for anyone that, like most of us in the Western world, that have too many possessions and builds too much reliance on the things that we have and our reputation and all of those kinds of things to say, yes, that's where, you know, I want my reputation, my life, my identity to be in that. And God is, and Jesus is instead inviting us to trust fully. Where our treasure is, there also will our hearts be. We know that. That the things that capture our hearts are first usually captured in our eyes, that the things that we look at, the things that distract us, are the things that where we begin to move in that direction. The invitation is to truly have that sense of a God who is worthy of our trust, a God who is deserving of that trust, a God who loves us, and we're able to at least take that first tentative step in that direction. You know, it's never easy to fully surrender our hearts to God, but to at least say, "Lord, I don't know what this is all about. I'm not sure if I can really trust you fully with everything that I have. I'm not sure that I can give away all of my possessions and just have that readiness, that expectancy that, yes, you might be calling on me tonight. You might have that sense that tonight is the final day of my life and I don't know what is going to happen." I mean, how do we know where we will be in 10 years' time? How do we know where our hearts will be in 5 years' time? What our lives will be all about? I mean, the only way that we can know is to ask the question of us today. Where am I today? What's going on in my heart in this very moment, at this time? What is my desire? What is my longing? Am I giving myself to God? Am I surrendering myself to God? Am I at least wanting to do that? You know, that's where the transformation begins to happen, when we recognize that, yeah, it's not really good at the moment. There's not this utter conviction that I can trust fully in God. But if I at least have that desire and that longing to want to do that, if I at least want to trust in God, if I at least want to know him better, if I at least want to take one more tentative step in the direction of surrender and trust, then that's a good step to take. That's all that we can ever offer to God, and that's all that God is ever really asking of us. Are you prepared to take one more step closer to the act of surrender? Can you walk one more day where you give your heart to me? Can you at least desire to trust me more? Can you open yourself into that full surrender of God's love and God's life? Because we know that that's what ultimately will drive us. So that's ultimately what will offer us the only satisfaction that we can ever find. So tonight, we're invited to give ourselves, to take one small tentative step towards trusting God more fully and more completely with all that we have, in order that we might offer ourselves in the service of a God who delights in us and wants to receive the treasure of our hearts.